Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
All right, you ready?
I am ready.
All right, let's do this. Hopefully the voice will hold up this time.
Yeah, how's the voice feeling?
It's okay. It's okay. I think they'll see it as we go through this, that it still, like, has some residual effects. I still sound like I went from a pack a day to, like, half a pack a day.
Yeah, you're recovering?
Yeah, I'm recovering. You know, I mean, it takes a while.
It does take a while.
To get over your smoking habit.
It does. Absolutely. We've heard countless times.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So
it sounds like... when you were young, didn't they?
Yeah, it sounds like I've kicked it.
Yeah.
But still kind of hanging in there. So mm-hmm. We'll see how this goes. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Season 3, Episode 26 of the Washington State Combined Fund Drives, a podcast for good. My name is Philip Kerrigan. I am the program manager of the CFD, and joining me is...
Heather Lucas, the fiscal and policy coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive.
That is correct. And fun note on this particular podcast, you are the lone interviewer.
I am.
Because I was on the DL.
Yeah, because you were...
Not the down low.
Sick.
Not the down low.
No.
I was on the disabled list.
You were out of the game?
Yeah, I was out of the game. For a solid week.
Yeah, you were. You really were. Thank you for staying home, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. Nobody wanted to get
that
sick.
That first day,
yeah,
when I came in and felt like garbage,
yeah,
it was definitely apparent. Like, if I keep coming in, people will be very mad at me.
Yeah.
So I decided to stay back.
Mm-hmm.
As you can hear from my voice, still trying to get the little stuff out of there.
Yeah.
But I'm not contagious anymore, people, so don't panic.
It doesn't make my stomach feel any better.
good. But today we're talking about visual impairment and blindness. And this is a very interesting topic. You had an opportunity to talk to Sean Dobbs, the Donor and Government Relations Director of the Lighthouse for the Blind.
Yes.
So what'd you think? How'd you feel?
There were a couple things that I was surprised to learn. I love the cough. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact that they are the largest employer of deafblind people.
Oh, wow.
That's
cool.
Like, this side of the country.
Holy cow.
Which is crazy, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, I mean, if you've got any kind of limitations on your mobility, your, like, brain, anything that is, like, a health-related issue, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to have some trouble finding work. But mm-hmm. the fact that they have created this whole system for people who are blind or have low vision, or if they're deaf and blind,
mm-hmm.
they have spots and places where they work, like the aerospace industry.
Oh, wow.
Was a big one.
That's
where I was
neat.
Just like, wow, that's kind of cool. A weird thing. Like, you wouldn't have thought there's a connection there.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then the fact that they have so many people who work for them, they're incredibly diverse.
Yeah.
At one point, Sean says that they have 19 languages that are spoken.
Oh, wow.
By their workplace.
Wow.
By people at their workplace.
Oh, my gosh.
It's madness,
that's
right?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And a lot of people, of course, know because... know about visual impairment and blindness in government, because we actually have quite a few
mm-hmm.
Different government entities that deal with it.
The Department of Services for the Blind.
That's right. Washington State School for the Blind.
Uh-huh. And then the CFD itself has a sister program
mm-hmm.
In the kind of legacy Washington State Library
mm-hmm.
system. There's a thing called the Washington Talking Book and Braille Library.
Mm-hmm.
In the CFD, their number is 1479954.
Awesome.
If anybody wants to donate to the Watauble.
Shout out to all the people at Watauble.
Yeah.
Fantastic people up there.
Yeah. And the things that they do at Watawba, like, we've taken tours mm-hmm. and just, like, seeing cool. how people can get a book, mm-hmm. have it on a machine that's really easy for them to access and yeah. to play.
Yeah.
But then also they have translation services.
Yeah.
So you can have someone who translates a book into Braille.
Yep.
Which is super cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Before we get into the podcast, you have a question of the pod. It strikes me that it is a rabbit hole question. Well, let's see how you got there.
Yeah, it is a rabbit hole question. Well, when I started to do research for this podcast,
yes.
Of course, I had to look up stuff about vision, mm-hmm. about blindness, and the name. I mean, the word blind is mm-hmm. in the name.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm a nerd,
mm-hmm.
I went down a superhero rabbit hole mm-hmm. and I thought Daredevil.
Sure, Daredevil.
Right? Yeah. So if you got superhero powers from being bitten, yeah. a la Spider-Man.
Yeah.
What creature
but
do you...
Not Daredevil. But Daredevil not Daredevil did not get bit.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
yeah, so this is a combo
okay, got it.
Question.
Got it, got
yeah,
it.
So if you got superhero powers from being bitten, mm-hmm. what creature do you hope will bite you?
What creature do I hope will bite me?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it has
for you to get these powers.
It has to be one that doesn't like take away a limb.
Okay.
So that eliminates a ton of different
Well, I mean,
animals.
If it did take away a limb, like, initially, who's to say that you don't regenerate that limb? Or
yeah.
it regenerates into, like, if a T-Rex bit you, then you'd have a tiny arm?
Yes, yes, correct.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah,
yeah I still
you still
would
like to
avoid
mm-hmm.
the initial loss of limb. Because you don't even know if, like, the power you get is regeneration.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you don't know. You wake up, all the limbs are back. Yeah, you don't know.
Something that... is easy to get over. So I'd go like bee sting.
Okay.
Give me a super stud bee.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe designed by the Stark Foundation. Stark Industries.
Stark bee.
Escapes. Stark bee escapes.
Okay.
Iron Man's lair or whatever
mm-hmm.
it is.
Sure.
And flies around.
R&D levels.
Yep.
Yeah.
Finds a way into my home and stings me and then I become, you know.
You really into flowers?
Whatever. Yeah. First of all, I feel like Marvel, you can go ahead and take that storyline and run with it. That's
they
pretty
could
good.
Make
a
it
bee
happen.
Inside of Stark Industries. Great
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, that would be mine. What about you?
I don't know. I think something that I wouldn't normally encounter would be fun. Like a rhino. Like a rhino
You'd
bites
get
you.
Bit by a rhino?
Yeah, why not? I mean.
I don't know. It sounds totally unpleasant.
It does sound a bit unpleasant. I mean, just generally being bitten by anything probably
right.
not
I
the
mean,
best.
Right. I mean, you know, being bit, period, is not fun.
No. And that's why when you're a little kid and somebody's biting you and they don't stop, you mm-hmm. bite them back, then mm-hmm. they stop.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. So a rhino, would it be impaling or would it be the bite?
No, it'd be the bite.
Okay.
Yeah, I imagine that rhinos would just have a grip because they don't have, I don't believe they have any kind of incisors. They're mm-hmm. just like,
they
you
got
know,
that like
They got
snout.
The tusk and the snout, but I think their teeth are all like generally curvy mm-hmm. instead of pointy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. And what power would you hope to get from this rhino?
I'd probably be able to run fast and things would not be able to penetrate my skin,
okay.
I'm guessing.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Maybe bowl people over just by walking into a room.
I think you can do that now.
I could. Yeah.
You'd be you like, oh, there's Lucas, bow!
You see me knock things off a wall walking into
I
a
have.
Room like
so
that.
I'm pretty
so...
sure if you took it to the human level, you could definitely yeah. knock some people around.
Oh, yeah.
Impending Lawsuits by Heather Lucas.
Yeah, here they come.
Yep. So we're not going to waste any more of your time on cool comic book stuff, even though it is pretty neat.
Yeah.
And superhero stuff's awesome, too.
Yeah.
We're going to throw it to Heather's Lone Interview with Sean Dobbs. Here it is.
So I'm here with Sean Dobbs, the Donor and Government Relations Director for the Lighthouse for the Blind. Sean, thanks for calling in today.
Thanks for having me.
So can you give us a little history about the Lighthouse for the Blind and what your organization does for the community?
Sure. The Lighthouse actually has been around for a little over a century. So we were founded in 1918.
Nice.
And we started off... really working with people who came back from World War I who had lost their vision in combat.
Okay.
And so we started off making jigsaw puzzles and things like that. And as time went on, we kind of grew and advanced in terms of the products we produced, and we merged with another organization called Handcrest in the 1950s. And We started manufacturing aerospace parts, actually.
Okay.
And in the 1970s, we began providing support services, really for more support services for our employees. So we started working with people who were deafblind and really trying to provide opportunities for them. And then we've continued to evolve and grow to now where we have 3 manufacturing locations, and then we also run some base supply centers in California, Nevada, and Washington State, and we do contract management services. So the Lighthouse, our mission really is we empower people who are blind, deafblind, and blind with other disabilities by creating meaningful, sustainable, and diverse employment opportunities.
You had mentioned aerospace. What was it that got your organization into aerospace?
So back in the 50s, there was Boeing has like a community partnership program, and so someone from there, a wife of someone who worked at Boeing at the time, was really kind of behind us getting involved in that. And so now the people who are blind, deafblind, and blind with other disabilities make 7,000 different parts that can appear on a Boeing aircraft.
How insane. That's a crazy kind of a concept.
It is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really exciting to be able to produce those products. We also do a lot of work for the federal government. So
okay.
Through the Ability One program. Mm-hmm. And so basically that means that we're able to competitively bid on contracts for the federal government as long as 75% of the direct labor is performed by people who are blind.
Okay.
And so we exceed that percentage of 75%. And so we do a lot of different things also for the federal government. So we'll do office products, which we do a lot of out of our Spokane facility. So like dry erase whiteboards.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do binders, paper trimmers, an entrenchment tool for the military. In Seattle, we do a next generation hydration pack for the United States military that's nuclear resistant. We also do canteens. We do so a lot of different things for the military, and then we also provide services like contract management services. We're able to close out contracts for the federal government, and we run, as I said earlier, base supply centers.
Yeah.
That's on military bases. So we do a lot of different things, all with the goal of providing employment opportunities for people who are blind and then deafblind and blind with other disabilities. But also, we want to make sure that we're providing quality products and offering quality services to our customers.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really cool. So do the majority of clients and people you employ, do they have just a visual impairment, or do they have more than that? Like you mentioned deafblind. So are there a majority of people who are deafblind or just blind who you're working with?
So we have obviously all three. Overall, mm-hmm. we employ over 470 people, and 270 of them are blind, deafblind, and blind with other disabilities. The majority are blind, but we have people who are deafblind, blind with other disabilities, and why this is really important.
Mm-hmm.
So 70% of people who are blind are unemployed.
Oh, wow.
Nationwide.
Wow.
80% of people who are deafblind are unemployed. 90% of people who are blind with other disabilities are unemployed.
Wow.
So we are the largest employer of people who are blind west of the Mississippi, and we are the largest employer in the United States of people who are deafblind.
Wow, very nice. So as far as any kind of stigmas for these people who are trying to find employment, like, is it just, like, what kind of stigmas have you heard from them about, like, trying to find employment as someone who's blind or deafblind?
You know, a lot of times stigmas, well, challenges, I would say, that mm-hmm. people have is, one, just I think a lack of, you know, the public being aware of the abilities of people who are have a disability,
okay.
Who are blind or, you know, deafblind, making workplace accommodations and things like that. I think there's, even though there's, like, legislation out there, like the Americans with Disabilities Act, I think
yeah.
there's a lot of, just a lot of lack of awareness or understanding of, you know, what it takes to hire someone who is blind or deafblind.
Sure.
And I think that there's really a chance for those, for regular companies and employers to hire people, but they're just not really aware of it
mm-hmm.
and how that works. So, you know, fear or just not knowing
okay.
is a big stigma. Also, I think being in a place where you can have a job and have a chance to grow is a challenge for people as well. And then, you know, transportation
mm-hmm.
or those other things that can get in the way from you being able to maybe have a different job can be a challenge. And, you know, here we're really supportive, and we the charitable side of our organization is to provide training and supports for our employees so that they can not only work well and grow and have opportunities for upward mobility, but also grow in their own independence and achieve greater independence.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting. You know, we're a diverse workplace as well. Like, so we, people here speak over 19 different languages, for
wow.
example. And so, and people here, you know, have opportunities that you're not going to have elsewhere. So it's kind of a community.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that we do is very competitive. Our employment is very competitive. And we just want to provide the supports and everything and training opportunities to help people be the best they can be, both as an individual and also in terms of reaching their professional and personal employment goals.
Absolutely. So without an organization like yours providing employment in a region, do people who are visually impaired or blind have to move locations to find things like work opportunities?
You know, some will.
Mm-hmm.
I actually worked at in Indianapolis. That's where I'm from, is Indiana. And I actually did a variety of different jobs, but
mm-hmm.
I worked at a similar organization to the Lighthouse in Indianapolis, but I moved because it was a chance to further my career.
Sure.
And so we have people that will do that. We have people that will, I've seen people move to take jobs at our Spokane location and also our location in South Carolina as well, and here
mm-hmm.
as well. Like, Seattle is a great has a great community of people who are deafblind, so
okay.
we have people that will move here for that, because you want to go where there's opportunity.
Absolutely.
And so the challenge and the challenging part of that is if people move, you're moving to a whole new environment and
mm-hmm.
you don't really know anyone and you kind of maybe lose your support system. And so that's kind of a challenge. But a lot of people will do that. And so
yeah.
when we look for candidates for employment, we actually will look nationwide for people because,
okay.
You know, we want people who really want to come to work here. And so we've been able to attract people not only from Seattle and the Puget Sound region and Washington State, but
mm-hmm.
around the country as well.
Okay. So as far as something an average Washingtonian whose eyesight is, you know, not perfect or just 20/20 or whatever, but not having any kind of like low vision or any issues with their eyesight that are major, what's something that somebody could do to either help their eyesight or just maintain it?
Well, I think, you know, the first and the most important thing that people should do is go get their eyes checked.
Okay.
On an annual basis, because I kind of feel like that's something that can fall behind the wayside.
Sure.
That's an easy thing to kind of catch things that may come up, especially when you think of, you know, we have an aging population,
mm-hmm.
and so macular degeneration and things like that are becoming you know, are very prevalent. And then there's other things that can happen, like diabetic retinopathy if someone has diabetes, or there's some later onset eye conditions. And so I think really just going and making sure you go get your eyes checked on an annual basis, I think, is really critical in terms of being able to kind of know what's coming up, or if there is a potential problem. Because when you start losing your vision, there's a whole adjustment process, psychologically and otherwise, that you kind of have to go through. And so staying on top of the health of your eyes would be my number one recommendation.
Okay. And then do you have any insight as to, like, how those diseases you mentioned, like macular degeneration, are they diseases that are getting worse for the general population, or are they kind of, are they getting better? Like, how are people dealing
with
that?
Well, I think the bigger thing, like with macular degeneration, is we just have increasing, the population is growing older.
Okay.
And
it's so kind of unavoidable?
Well, not everyone's going to have that.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends. But, you know, with, you see more of it because, you know, the population is growing older on the whole. So we have more people who are in their, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s that are, and so then it is more prevalent because there's more people that fall in that demographic.
Sure. Okay. And then as far as services or technology, do you think that they're getting better for people with visual impairments or blindness?
Yes, I think this is a fantastic time for people who are blind in technology.
Okay.
So we here at the Lighthouse provide a lot of training on technology. So we do computer and assistive technology training.
Mm-hmm.
So we can teach people everything from how to use a screen reader like JAWS for Windows. And JAWS actually speaks what's on the screen, and then instead of using a mouse click, you use key commands.
Okay.
We have screen enlargement programs for people that have some usable vision, and so that kind of blows up the text on a screen so people are able to see it.
Sure.
And then there's all kinds of you know, scan to read software, which you can do on a computer or even on your phone. The iPhone's been a big thing for people who are blind because of VoiceOver. So it allows you to do pretty much anything you would ever want to do. You can scan documents at work and read them, or QR codes. You can do your banking. You can do social media, check your email, you know, make calendar appointments, pretty much watch Netflix, whatever, you know, pretty much everything that someone who could see could do on their phone. So, and then the other great thing about technology is it's helping in terms of orientation and mobility, because you can use like GPS when you're walking around. And numerous cool apps out there that can kind of help you navigate. And then there's either even some apps like Be My Eyes, which you can actually kind of go through and contact a volunteer who can actually see, and they might be able to tell you, like, hey, your tie is black, or here's the recipe on this box.
Okay.
If you want to make that. So there's a lot of great things. So technology is creating opportunities for independence and allowing, I think, for greater employment opportunities. And then we use technology also in terms of employment. So we have people who are blind and deafblind that can run CNC machines in Akuma mills.
Okay.
So, and produce parts. So, yeah, technology is a game changer for us, for sure.
Right on. And then as far as the locations, you mentioned South Carolina, Spokane, and Seattle.
Yeah, those are our three manufacturing locations. Mm-hmm. So that's where the majority of our employees are. We also have base supply centers at JBLM. We have base supply centers in California. We have one in Fallon, Nevada. We also have contract management services that we do in San Diego. And we run a contact center here in our Seattle location as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so we do a combination of manufacturing and service businesses, and we have people who are blind in every department in our organization, from our president and CEO to human resources to fund to communications and fundraising to manufacturing, production, quality. So we really believe in walking the talk as it relates to our mission.
Very nice. That's super cool. So let's say someone hears this podcast and they want to start begin giving to the Lighthouse for the Blind. Can you talk about what donations do for your organization?
Yeah, donations can do a number of things for us. First of all, you know, a donation of any size is important. If you were to donate $10, for example, that could go toward providing like a safety vest that we give in a welcome kit to new employees. And it's high visibility, so when people are traveling and trying to catch the bus and stuff, people are able to see them. So it's a really important safety thing. So, you know, donations can cover a class on orientation and mobility, which teaches people how to travel independently and learn how to use a cane and travel independently in the workplace and throughout the community.
Okay.
You know, donations help support also computer and assistive technology training or purchasing technology products, because those can be expensive.
Yeah.
So, you know, like a refreshable braille display or things like that. And then, or just to make a workplace accessible can be very spendy. So donations, our donations go to support our programs and services that we offer, which include, like I said, computer and assistive technology training, braille literacy, orientation and mobility, a technology training center for people who are deafblind, interpreting services, also for sighted guides, because sometimes we need people who can serve as a sighted guide. Also, donations can go toward, like I said, the purchasing of technology as well. And maybe also, if people were interested, specifically, we have a deafblind retreat coming up at CBEC at the end of August. And so some people like to specifically give their money to support that. It's has people from multiple countries that come to it, and it's a really huge and fantastic event.
Okay.
So you know, so we have people that will support that. So we really have something for anyone that wants to donate at any level, regardless of how much money you have. It's really, we are really appreciative of any donation, and we look forward to building relationships with all of our donors to help them know where their money is going and to get them inspired and to let them know that they are truly making a difference in the lives of people who are blind, deafblind, and blind with other disabilities.
Right on. And you mentioned some event, like that event in August and some programs, but did you have any other events or programs you'd like to highlight before we go?
Yeah, we have our signature event. Last year we celebrated our centennial, so it was our 100th year. So we're embarking on our next 100 years. And so we are holding our signature event on Saturday, September 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at the Boeing Future of Flight. And it's the Future of Opportunities, an evening with the Lighthouse. It is going to be a fantastic event. We're going to have entertainment. We'll have dinner, drinks. We will have guest speakers, including an employee guest speaker, to kind of tell their story. And we'll have an auction. And if people are interested in attending that, we'd love to have you join us. It's $175 is the ticket. And you can find out more information by going to our website, thelighthousefortheblindinc.org.
Okay.
And people are also able to give me a call here at 206-436-2224.
Very nice. Well, Sean, thank you so much for calling in and joining us and telling us about the Lighthouse for the Blind and what you guys do for our community.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, and that was the interview with Sean Dobbs. Really good stuff. Before we get, before we wrap up the show, talk about upcoming events. It sounds like you have some trivia.
I do. Yeah, yes. Like looking into stuff. I mean, I found like you know, there's some information out there about laws that affect mm-hmm. people, the Braille language. Have you really looked at it? Because it is interesting.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So yeah. I'll put this little thing up on the internet so people can see the numbers, the punctuation, and the alphabet for Braille. But I took a quiz online,
mm-hmm.
and I can put that up there so people can join in.
Yes.
But it's for Braille basics.
Okay.
So, let's see here. You know, I took a quiz, but I didn't print the questions. It just has my answers.
Could it be like Jeopardy, where I give you the answer to the question? What is...
Yeah. All right, let's try that then. Okay. So, How is Braille read? Is it read from, let's see, left to right,
okay.
from right to left, or like Asian languages like Chinese are read vertically from top to bottom? So how is Braille read?
I'm going to say left to right. I feel like I've seen that.
It is left to right.
Ha-ha!
Yeah. So some basic terminology about Braille.
Okay.
Print is printed, but what's the process to create Braille? What is that called?
Oh, wow. I got no options.
No.
Damn it. Oh, that's hard. I don't even know.
Yeah, so it's the reading surface.
Huh?
It's the dots, right? And the dots are raised, and it's called embossing.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would make sense.
Yeah.
That would make very much sense.
Yeah, okay. So then
that's
let's
cool.
say... Okay, so there's a name for the individual block.
Okay.
Or the space
okay.
that a Braille character consists of.
Okay.
The dots, the six dots. So what is the name for that block? Is it block? Is it room? Is it cell? Or is it space?
I'm going to say cell.
It is cell.
Oh, man, that was a total guess.
That was a good guess.
Bam!
Okay.
Oh, man, I'm so good at trivia.
You really are good at trivia. How do you do it? How do you do it?
You just narrow the things down in your head, Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy.
Okay. So
well, it's not very
see.
Easy.
Oh, was that a challenge? Yeah.
No.
Okay, so let's see here. So, since I showed you that there is punctuation, I'm not going to ask you, is there punctuation?
Sure.
I just obviously. Showed it to you.
Yeah, because I saw it.
Okay, so since Braille by itself is a non-visual reading system,
mm-hmm.
how are typographic changes like capitalization and italics indicated?
Oh. Interesting. How about... like a line of some kind below or above it.
So sort of, yeah. So there are special characters that come after.
Okay.
So they're called composition signs.
Okay.
So after after a character is read, then those composition signs appear.
Got
so
it.
Then you know, oh, okay.
It's a capital.
It's a capital. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And then according to the National Federation of the Blind, what percentage of blind children in the U.S. are taught to read Braille? Is it 10%, is it 30%, or is it 50%?
I'm going to say 30%, right there, dead in the middle.
10.
Oh, yeah. My gosh, that's super low.
Yeah, so... there
wow, 10%?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So it's not counting people who lose their eyesight as adults, of course. It's starting with a smaller percentage of children.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it is 10%. The global literacy rate for all people aged 15 and over is 84%, but, like, when it comes down to things like literacy with Braille... it gets lower and lower and lower
wow.
because people don't
wow.
know how to do that. They
yeah.
don't have someone to teach them.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. That's actually super low.
It is low.
Yeah.
You'd think that that would be something that was would be more higher.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know that there are a lot of places that exist just to teach Braille.
Yeah, I know. I mean, shoot, that's true.
Yeah, if you have like a school or one of those programs that's like an after school
mm-hmm.
Or like mentor...
yeah.
helping kids learn.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
That.
Damn, only 10%.
Only 10%.
Yeah. Then real shout out to places like then Lighthouse for the Blind and Watabel and School for the Blind, because I mean you're doing work.
Yeah.
That not a lot of people are out there doing.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'll give you some upcoming events. We just had our birthday party July 16th and the Rainiers game on July 19th. Thank you to everybody who came out and participated at those very, very fun events. The LNI Golf Tournament is just Friday, July 26th, 3 p.m. start time. And we will have local coordinator trainings coming up in the next 2 weeks or so. So look out for that, RSVP. We have an LNI Flower Sale on July 30th, the Fur Baby Fun Run on August 3rd, the ESD Softball Tournament on August 10th, and the CI Golf Tournament on August 17th. So long story short, there's a ton going on.
Sports.
Oh, just sports. Just
sports events. They happen in the summer.
They sure do. Yeah. They sure do. The outdoor sports events, people sure do love them in the summer. We are gearing up for the busy season of the CFD, of course. So watch out for that stuff. Stay tuned for more awesome podcasts just like this one.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right, see you later.